This is Invest Talk from KPP Financial, helping investors make sense of the markets one day at a time. Here's your host, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Wednesday, July 22nd, 2026 edition of Invest Talk, and a lot of moving parts in the markets. We are in the midst of earnings season, so we're going to get to a lot of that. And it's not just any earnings season. It's a very, very important one because we have a lot of Mag 7 names reporting, the market digesting how their businesses are evolving. This is vital to the future of not just our market, but our economy as well, because it's so reliant on these names. We're going to dig into that and much, much more during this hour. I know we get caught up in the weeds sometimes in these type of topics, but we also try to spend time to zoom out, give you broader concepts so that it's not about making a decision today and tomorrow or next week, but it's about building the skills, the tool set, so that you don't need to tune in. We love that you tune into Invest Talk, but ideally, at some point, you're doing one of two things. You're either so good on your own that you don't need to tune in here, or B, maybe you hire us, right? And we're doing it for you. And that happens a lot as well. So either way, we are here to help you find one direction, a direction where you can consistently make good decisions with your money because you've embodied the principles, the smart principles of good decision-making when it comes to your investment universe, your investment portfolio, your broader financial plan, making sure it is all aligned so that you are achieving your goal of financial freedom. That's a nebulous word or set of words, but it means different things for different people. But once again, these principles are the same. Not using your emotions, focusing on the reality on the ground, not getting caught up in hype. Those are the things that help you avoid pitfalls and capitalize on opportunities. That's what this hour is about each and every weekday. And of course, we will be answering your finance and investment questions. I'll bring you data. I'll bring you topics. But in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance, and then we'll run down some short topics. But as usual, we'll tackle this first caller question now.
The stock I'm asking about is JXN, Jackson Financial. I'd love to hear what you guys think about it. Thank you.
All right, looking at Jackson Financial, they operate a holding company. It's a annuity service. It sells annuities to retail investors. Simple as that. Does have institutional products, but mainly it's an institutional sales company. The business is good. Guess what? Shocking. If you're able to sell annuities, you're going to make a lot of money. If you're either the insurance company or you're the salesperson. Earnings this year are, no, backtrack. It's usually not great for the buyer of the annuity, but that's neither here nor there. This is about what the business of Jackson Financial is. $8.7 billion market cap, solid balance sheet, good free cash flow, about $5.2 billion. I like that. Now that has fallen, so that's in a bit of a decline. Shares outstanding are going back up. That's interesting. It'd been buying back shares since 2021. It had 94 million shares outstanding. At the end of last year, it had 67 million shares outstanding, roughly. Now we're up over 70 million shares outstanding. What's going on here? That worries me a little bit. The profitability metrics are pretty meager, even though the cash flow is strong. To me, I think you're getting caught up in those earnings. Now, the technicals are fine. The earnings numbers look good, but that raises a giant red flag. You're trading at 5 PE. Earnings are growing 4% this year, 18% next year. To me, there's a deeper story here. This is my 25 years of doing this. I get alarm bells when I see things like this. There's something deeper going on here. I don't know what it is, but that's what a 5P ratio is telling you. That's a 20% earnings yield. Way too high. So I'm going to pass on Jackson because it just doesn't pass the smell test to me. So we had a great show yesterday. We looked into this question. Can the Magnificent Seven earnings hold the market up? Talked about how an obscure volatility measure is pointing to a potential breakout or breakdown. We also answered a listener question on Danaher. Excuse me. My mic just dropped. On Danaher, if you happen to miss it, go check it out. The best way to get every show is to follow Invest Talk wherever you get your podcasts. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes. And our main focus point is about stocks beyond tech. Where is the market rotating? What's working right now? Seen a big sell-off in semiconductors, memory stocks, all of that. You got a nice little bounce over the past couple days. We'll explore the sectors and themes that are working when tech isn't. How to find opportunity in this chaos. We'll dig into that story. We'll also look at Google's earnings. It's the first big hyperscaler to report earnings this season. And guess what? $6 billion cash burn as it raised AI spending. So we'll dig into the numbers there. Also, shifts in capital flows. How is this going to change the role of the US dollar? We know we're going through a time of major upheaval and major change. And most likely the dollar will be central to that. So we'll look at that topic. We also have voice bank questions on Agree Realty Corp, ADC, and then 401k allocations. And also some questions that came in from the comment section on the InvestDoc YouTube channel as well. But we're going to head to a quick break. Please remember, you can call anytime and leave your question on the InvestDoc voice bank, or if you're listening live via our live stream on InvestDoc.com or possibly on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call right now at 888-99-CHART. Hang on, because I plan to talk about today's market activity in the next segment.
It's official. Total lifetime downloads for the Invest Talk podcast are now more than 63 million. Justin Klein is here now, taking your calls live. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
8899-CHART, 889-92-4278 is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Let's go look at the markets for a potential follow through. Yesterday, after yesterday's big bounce in tech, we didn't get that today. We actually got a sell-off. You had the NASDAQ down a little over 0.5%. S&P was barely down only 10 points, 14 basis points. Dow was essentially flat, only down 6 points there. If you look at what drove the market down, mostly it was names like Tesla, down 1.3, Meta down 2.5, Intel down 2.7, Microsoft nearly 2%. Then you have names like Palantir down 6, SpaceX. What did I tell everyone? This is one of the most egregiously overvalued stocks in the history of markets. I think the most egregiously overvalued stock in the history of markets. Now at 115, IPO to 135. It's down 50% from its high just less than a month ago. So continued sell-off on that front. Surprising in some ways, but not at all in others, right? Surprising in how quick it rolled over, especially because the lockup period doesn't really start in earnest until next month. There's going to be more dumping of shares. So I think this could go much, much lower, probably sub 100 at some point very soon, probably. And then I think this could be a sub $50 stock in short order. But really, the market was dragged down by tech overall. You had some strength. Energy continued to do well as oil prices are strong. Utilities are bouncing back as well. So more rotation into those safe sectors. There's continuing to be more rhetoric in the U.S.-Iran war that is potentially disrupting the Red Sea, which would create more chaos and supply chain bottlenecks. President Trump said this morning he would destroy a bridge or power plant in Iran anytime Iran attacks a ship in the Strait of Hormuz. So Once again, more rhetoric ramping up there. Another aspect that's very, very concerning, bond yields. Bond yields are again up again today. Markets are now pricing in just over 40 basis points worth of Fed tightening this year. What's interesting is that gold is now breaking out to the upside. Gold finished up 1.9%, silver up 2%. So definitely some safe haven buying here. Bitcoin off about 1%, WTI up 3%. So as I've said before, I think you're finally getting to this phase where the supply deficits that have been going on for what, 3-4 months now are starting to catch up. And it's clear there's no resolution to what's going on in the Middle East. It's a quagmire that will just likely continue to drag on. You did outperformance today in home builders did well. Surprising once again, considering the higher interest rates. Food did well. Telecom did well. Industrial metals, chemicals, those all did well. What were the laggers today? Software was broadly weaker. Transports, medtech, credit cards, insurers, regional banks, private equity. Those are all weak on the day. What else did we get? More Anthropic AMD partnership, but I think it's kind of a whole circular financing issue that continues to struggle there. GE Vernova, one of the higher profile laggards today. A lot of it is likely margin compression that you're seeing. That's one issue. And then once again, Google kicked off earnings, and that is down after hours, along with Tesla down big after hours as well. So very interesting day, and we're really kicking into gear with the earnings season. Let's go with a YouTube comment question. Alameda says, hello, this is Marin in Alameda County. I really enjoy our show on KDAO, or your show on KDAO. I've held AVB, Avalon Bay, since before 2000, has grown to 13% of one Schwab account. Obviously, I'm more of a set-and-forget-it investor, but over decades, it has been a steady eddy. But today, I learned from a mailbox that ABB is merging with Equity Residential to form a multifamily real estate behemoth. Can you explain some of the pros and cons of the merger for this retail investor like me? Will it still be a REIT or something else entirely? Is there a tax consequence, good or bad, for me? Interesting. Avalon Bay, AVB is the symbol. I did not hear about this. Says, I'm 70, no heirs, and have substantial sources of income. Have other substantial sources of income. I always learn something useful from your program. Thank you so much. I have not seen anything come in that is telling me there's a merger. This is interesting. I'm going to have to do a little research. I want to answer this, but I'm going to have to do a little research on this, and I will answer it right after this break. This is Invest Talk, now with more than 63 million downloads. Thanks to you. Hang on, our work continues. But give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
In the early days, Invest Talk was Jerry Klein and Steve Peasley. Now the torch has been passed, and a new generation of hosts is on the job, Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. So when you've got finance and investment questions, don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
So to answer the listener's question, or the YouTube comment question, this shows you I don't review these. I just answer them on the fly. There is a vote on August 12th of a merger of equals between AVB and Equity Residential. If it passes, then they will combine. You'll get about, 2.8 shares of Equity Residential for each share of AVB, that you own. So it's just going to combine the company. It'll still be publicly traded. There's no tax consequences that you have to worry about here. It'll just be a bigger company. Maybe a little more risk, but potential more upside as well. So I don't mind it. Usually these type of mergers of equals, similar size companies, similar types of assets, right? They're a REIT, then I think this is fine. So I wouldn't worry about any tax consequences, just maybe a slight change in the income you get from it. One thing to think about is doing direct indexing if you're trying to diversify from this name. If it's 13% of your portfolio, that's kind of a lot. And it's in a taxable account, something to think about. Schwab does it. We do it for clients. So happy to talk to you about that. Let's keep things rolling. Here comes another fresh voice bank question now.
Good morning, Luke and Justin. This is Josh from New York. I had a quick question about my 401k allocations. I only have 3 international investment options within my 401k. The Vanguard Total World, which is about 60% U.S. allocated stocks, and the MFS International Diversification Fund, which is about 99.6% U.S. stocks. I can also get into the Vanguard International Total International Stock Market Index, which I'm pretty sure excludes the U.S. completely. And I was wondering if I wanted some international exposure, and because there was so much overlap with those first two and my large cap exposure, that if going fully excluding the U.S. would make sense. And if so, if about 20% of my allocation would make sense. I appreciate any input you have on the matter. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, very simple. I would go with the one that's exclusively international. Then you know exactly what your exposure is. It's not going to move over time. This is your allocation to your foreign markets. And the Vanguard Total International Stock Fund is not bad. It's not the best one out there. But you know, you're in a 401k. You're very limited to what you can invest in. I would roll it into an IRA at some point if you can. But in the meantime, using this is just fine. Now, is 20% the right number? I think it should be higher. You know, you talked about the global index being more like 60% domestic, 40% foreign. I actually think you should be at least 30% in foreign markets. So I would, and maybe even up to 40. But 30 is a good starting place. And then it also depends on what risk are you taking. If you're all equities, 30% in the 30 to 35% range is probably good. If you are a more moderate investor, you sounded pretty young, so I'm guessing you're aggressive. But for everyone else out there who might be more moderate, you know, maybe you scale that international exposure down and you add more bonds, maybe some international bonds, maybe some short-term corporate bonds. You know, I think that can be a good way to diversify. And then also for everyone, it's just gaining exposure to harder assets, gold and silver, copper, uranium, things like that, I think would be a great addition too. But once again, in a 401k, you can be pretty limited, but definitely start with about 30% in foreign markets. Now let's play another listener question from 888-99-CHART.
Hi, InvestTalk. I had a question about DraftKings, tickers DKNG. I'd like you guys to take a look at this as a speculative play or a long-term hold. What price target do you think would be a good opportunity to take a position? I'll listen on the show, and thanks, guys.
DraftKings. Now, I want to first caveat this with, I think that these companies are despicable. We've had the opportunity to have DraftKings sponsor InvestTalk. I passed on it without even blinking an eye. These companies operate in horrible faith. They're not good faith actors. They just got to try to get people addicted. People lose. There's ones that get addicted that lose millions of dollars. There's nothing positive that comes out of having this legalized. And then you look at the chart, and it's basically been in a downtrend since January, February of last year. Peaked out around 53. Now it's down to 22. They're making money now. They spend a ton of money on advertising, obviously. You've seen that. If you listen to podcasts, which you obviously do if you're listening to the show, then you'll know that they sponsor a lot of podcasts. But once again, it's just very, very skeezy, slimy industry. Ultimately, I think regulation takes this name out, or these type of names, this type of industry out. There's now battle with Kalshi and Polymarket, and they're actually lobbying to get rid of sports betting because they're trying to be the only game in town. So there's a lot of battling there. I just don't like the industry. It's just not good for society. It's not good for anybody who's financially literate. If you actually win money consistently, they kick you off the platform. So it's just a terribly run, horribly run from an ethical standpoint business. And then their profits are not really growing that much, even though their revenue is, and actually growth is slowing on the revenue side. So I'm passing on DraftKings. The chart is terrible. The business ethics are terrible. I think that industry is terrible. So I would not invest in it. Now, the next Invest Talk, we'll look into the story. Dollar versus emerging market currencies. It's a safe haven rally, a trap. The US dollar has been gaining ground as investors flee to safety amid escalating Middle East tensions, even as the pound and other currencies give back recent gains. But a strong dollar has its own set of consequences for multinationals, emerging markets, and commodity prices. We'll talk about that story tomorrow, but for now, I'm Justin Klein, and we're ready to take your calls anytime at 888-99-CHART. Do you ever think about how two people can be the same age, yet one just seems to have more energy, gets better sleep, and recovers faster? That difference usually has less to do with actual age and more to do with what's happening underneath the surface. That's why I'm excited to share the good news about the True Age test from True Diagnostic. It's an at-home test that looks at markers on your DNA using epigenetics to determine your biological age, not just how many birthdays you've had. Here's what brings the value to the True Age test. It doesn't stop at a single age number. You get your biological age, your pace of aging, and a breakdown of how 11 key organ systems are aging, including your heart, brain, lungs, and liver. You also get 75-plus longevity biomarkers, translated into clear, easy-to-understand insights around things like metabolic health and immune function. So instead of just getting raw data, you actually get a more complete picture of how your body is functioning day-to-day. You get personalized recommendations based on your results, things like sleep, nutrition, exercise, supplements, and lifestyle changes. So you have a clear roadmap for improving your health over time. The process itself is very simple. It's just an at-home finger prick. You send it back in the prepaid kit, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you get your full report online. So if you're serious about longevity, or even just curious whether your body is aging faster or slower than your actual age, this is one of the easiest ways to find out. Right now, go to truediagnostic.com. and use code INVEST20 for 20% off your entire order. That's truediagnostic.com, code INVEST20 for 20% off. At KPP Financial, accountability means more than advice. It means we invest alongside you. Through our parallel investing approach, when we recommend an investment for clients, one or more KPP principals invest their own capital at the same time. Same day, same price, same percentage. If your portfolio moves, ours does too. That is alignment. That is transparency. That is the KPP difference. Visit investtalk.com to get your free portfolio review.
Things that make KPP Financial special. One of them is parallel investing. This means they invest right alongside their clients. Here's how it works. When KPP Financial makes a trade for their clients, Justin Klein makes the same trade for himself and KPP. On the same day, at the same price, and same percentage. No front running, no special treatment. Learn more about parallel investing at investtalk.com.
Our main focus point today concerns the stocks that are beyond tech, where the market is actually working right now. We've seen a fairly large pullback in many of the chip names, many of the AI data center centric stocks. And there's different sectors that it covers, from tech. We know there's chips. We know there's memory. We know that there are... There are many verticals within technology that cover that. Even some of the Mag 7, which in some ways it's been helping them, in other ways it's been hurting them. But then there's the industrial applications as well, from HVAC companies to those that supply products that power the data centers or help connect power to the data centers. That happens a lot as well. So there's many verticals that this is bleeding into. But many of those names are also pulling back considerably. SanDisk, for example, went from 2,300 recently all the way to a low of 1300. So it nearly got cut in half. Now we're getting a little bit of a bounce here, but still you're seeing a market in rotation. Big bounce yesterday, but today's a good example where you had some very interesting sectors outperform. Remember, one day is not a trend, but you have seen that multi-week pullback in those names. You get a bounce. Is it a counter trend bounce? Most likely. Meaning there's probably more downside to go for tech, but there are sectors that are working. Healthcare is a good example. Many of those are hitting or near new highs, new 52-week highs. And it's not just retail investors. Actually, retail investors are late to the game. Institutional investors are the ones that are rotating capital away from tech towards more defensive names. Typically, healthcare, financials, housing. Financials are showing strength. Major credit processors, payment platforms, they're kind of safe havens right now. And then traditional industrial applications, not your data center related ones, but traditional industrial companies. Housing is catching a bid as well. Now, us, including many analysts, see this as actually healthy. It's not everything's going to hell in a handbasket. This is a correction rather than the start of a secular bear market, most likely. I've been saying this for about a quarter now, that this is starting to feel like, even though it's not the beginning of a new year, but the beginning of a half year. And in 2022, pretty much when that started, that was the start, when that year started, that was the start of that major drawdown in big tech, where there was an extrapolation of growth during COVID that just never really materialized, right? The growth rate slowed considerably. You had names like Zoom go down 90% from their high because everyone thought you or the market expected that growth in Zoom users was going to continue for many, many years to come. And the reality is a flash in the pan. And so in AI, that's what you're seeing now. Is most likely a corrective period to work off the excess. Reassess stretch valuations. Doesn't mean the long-term structural growth story is gone. It just means that the market needs to find true value. It needs to assess the real winners or losers. Just because you have a piece in the AI ecosystem doesn't mean that you necessarily have a great business. Who will be the real winners at the end? Will it be the hyperscalers or will it be the picks and shovels type of companies? Reality is probably the latter. Because AI demand is not really going anywhere over the long term. That secular demand is going to grow. It's just a matter of what clip. And then you add on top of that, what's going on in the Middle East? Oil prices reigniting to the upside, reigniting inflation fears, 10-year treasury pushing higher. And when economic uncertainty rises, defensive sectors tend to outperform. That's what you're seeing right now. They're buffers against high beta growth stocks, the volatility of them. That's where you're seeing utilities up 2.2% on the day when the market was flat to mostly down. Gold and silver reigniting to the upside. Material companies up nearly 2% on the day. Same with metals and mining. So overweighting value is now the name of the game. We said that for a little while. The ratio of growth to value really peaked at the beginning of June. Now we're getting to the end of July. So we're going on 2 months now where the market has been rotating in earnest. This is not most likely just a two-month blip. To me, this very well could be the start of a 2022 type reset in the growth universe. Now let's pivot to another new question that came in earlier on today's 888-99 chart.
Hey guys, this is Lloyd from Wisconsin. Just calling to get your thoughts on two real estate names. I'm trying to add real estate into my portfolio as I'm bullish on it going forward for the next couple of years, and I have no exposure. I'm looking at ADC and VICI. Those are the two real estate REITs that I'm looking at, and I'd be curious your opinion. Thank you.
Are looking at ADC, Agree Realty, and Vici. So ADC, Agree Realty, $9 billion market cap. This is an industrial REIT. Focused on long-term tenants. Its funds from operations go up 6% this year, 5% next year. Revenue up 16% this year, 9% next year. I like this. Of all the REIT sectors, this is definitely up there as one of my favorites. Now, is this the horse within the industrial space? I'm not going to call that, but I like industrial REITs. Whereas Vici is actually near the bottom of the type of REITs that I want to own. A REIT that is tied to Las Vegas. Not only Las Vegas is going anywhere, but you've heard all the stories of a lot less travel. Part of that is a lot of Canadians go to Vegas typically, but they're opting to travel to different countries now for political reasons. That's a big factor. But then there's also the fact that a lot of these hotels have actually sold their property to Vici, names like Vici, and they lease them out. It's called a seller leaseback. And now, in order to pay that, right, they'd cash out a big dollar amount, billions of dollars for these properties. And in order to carry the cost of the finance or of the lease, you have to raise prices on rooms, resort fees, all of that. And it's just making the experience in Vegas, you know, not as comfortable as it used to be. So that's one of the big reasons why Vici is in a strong downtrend versus ADC is in a strong uptrend. So if I'm picking one or the other, I'm 100% going with ADC. Thanks for the call. And I want to address the last part. He said he's bullish on real estate. I'm bullish on very select segments of real estate. You actually pick one, commercial, industrial properties. But I think there are definitely a lot of pockets of real estate that will continue to struggle. I think B and C office properties are going to continue to struggle. A properties, this is what I'm seeing here locally in Orange County. Our office is in an A property. I actually talked to our real estate, commercial real estate broker, and he's saying that lease rates for our office complex is going up. But B and C properties, especially C level properties, are going down quickly. So I think you have to understand what you're exposed to. And then when it comes to residential real estate, I think we're actually in the start of a broader correction in prices across the country. Every neighbor is different. Every city is different. But broadly, I think we're going through a correction in prices. Now let's go to a YouTube comment section question. Sam Klein, spelled differently, K-L-I-N-E, says, I have a question on picking which valuation metrics are best to screen for stocks to invest in. I know there are many and it's good to look at them all next to each other. However, which one is the best at creating a stock screen? PEG ratio, which is PE to growth. It's PE, forward PE, enterprise value to EBITDA, etc. Thanks, love the show. First off, I do not love, when I'm talking about ratio analysis, I do not love earnings. Earnings can be manipulated. It's just not the cleanest way to value or look at the ratio a company is trading at. I like to look at enterprise value to EBITDA, mainly going forward. What are forward-looking EBITDA projections? Enterprise value includes debt. So when you're looking at PE, price is only including market cap, which is not a full enough picture for me. So I like to look at almost all the ratios I want to look at include enterprise value, not market cap. And that's where, you know, a lot of the PE, price to sales, price to book, they don't encompass the debt part. Then when it comes to the other side of the ratio, I like to focus more on the cash flows, and EBITDA gets that. I'd be happy to look at enterprise value to free cash flow. That's a good one. So those are some metrics I would focus on when you're trying to screen. But then I would also vary it depending on the sector you're talking about. Some sectors, high debt is actually a good thing, like a bank. The more you lend, the more you're potentially making a profit. Now, if you're a bad lender, that's an issue. But as long as you're a smart lender, the more you lend, I mean, the more debt you put on the balance sheet, the better it is for potential earnings. And then once again, there are idiosyncrasies within each industry. And that's where I go to, you want to focus on one ratio within each industry. And then you're not comparing a company in one industry versus another. You're comparing one company to other companies within the industry. Could be trading cheaper from a ratio standpoint, but what about profitability? Maybe it's trading cheaper for a reason. It's very possible. So make sure you're controlling for those variables. Now let's go answer another voicemail question now.
Hey, Justin and Luke, Marlo from New York. Love your show, longtime listener. Just have a question about a company, UGI. I'm trying to invest in energy, as you encourage. This is a gas company, and it's really focused in Pennsylvania. They have natural gas and propane and other things. It just seems like a good business. So just wanted to know what you thought about this, like a smaller regional play on a natural gas recovery over time. Love what you do. Thanks so much. I'll listen on the show.
We're looking at UGI. Now, first off, I do not overweight energy. I would overweight energy infrastructure as well as refined products, refineries, things where we're not building a lot of new facilities to produce that end product. I love those type of businesses. Now, UGI is kind of in that vein. Distribution, transportation, storing, marketing of mainly propane. AmeriGas is their propane segment, their biggest contributor to revenue. I think that is a business that is quality. Earnings this year are supposed to be 280. That's down 13%, but then up 16% next year, 333, which should be an all-time high in earnings. They do have a lot of debt, but their cash flow is pretty consistent. Profitability is pretty good. Payout ratio is about 52%, but the cash dividend payout ratio is pretty high. So that worries me. They're paying out a lot. I don't think this dividend is that sustainable because of that debt. The cash flow is good, not amazing. This is one of those easy red flags. This company for years was raising their dividend. And suddenly in 2023, they stopped raising their dividend. When that happens, you have to ask yourself, why would they be stopping? And the answer simply is they can't afford to raise it anymore. They probably can't afford the current dividend. And you look at that based on the cash payout ratio, it cannot. So I generally like these businesses better than like an E&P company, but I don't like the balance sheet and I don't like the cash flow and I don't like that payout ratio. So I'm passing on it. Now we're heading to our final break. So get your call in now at 888-99-CHART.
The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin or Luke. This is Dan from Walnut Creek. I had a question about a couple of funds that I was looking at. That's A, V as in Victor, U.S., or VTHR. I was looking to add one or both of these to my portfolio. I was wondering if this is a good time, if I should look for a downturn and then get in, or I should just jump in now. Thanks very much. Bye.
Well, the market in general is getting rockier and probably will be rockier in the back half of this year. especially compared to the first half of this year, where we just had that, you know, modest pullback in the market to end the first quarter. And then the second quarter was fairly uneventful until the last month, where there was some mild volatility. But overall, in the grand scheme of things, historically, that's not a lot of volatility in a two-quarter period. So both of these are domestic equity focused. The one, VTHR, that's just going to be the Russell 3000 index. Very straightforward, very tech heavy, 36% in tech, roughly. Financials at 11 or call it 12%. Everything else is in single digits when it comes to its weighting. Now, Avantis, you're going to pay a little bit more from an expense ratio standpoint. You're still very diversified, 1,900 names versus 3,000 for the Russell 3000. But your tech is only about 29. You're getting 11% industrials, 16% financials, 11% consumer cyclicals. You're getting a little more basic materials. You're getting a little more energy, 3-7 versus 4. So if I'm picking one or the other, I'm definitely picking Avantis U.S. equity. Timing, that's a little more difficult, but I'm definitely picking AVUS over VTHR. Now, lastly, let's talk a little bit about the dollar. This is a, we're getting this a little bit deeper tomorrow, but I want to give you a primer on it because the dollar's been strong as of late, but there are a lot of potential reasons to be concerned about the note that the dollar is no longer countercyclical. Meaning, it used to be when the economy got sour, went sour, money moved into the dollar. It was a safe haven. But now what you're seeing is capital flows are moving more into U.S. equities as opposed to U.S. treasuries. In fact, because of geopolitical concerns and our deficit blowing out, now we're at 7% debt to GDP ratio, roughly, in a non-recessionary environment, money is no longer flowing into treasuries because they don't trust our ability to repay without greatly devaluing the dollar. What's held up the dollar, though, is actually money flowing into tech because of the AI craze. But if that reverses, like in 2022, you're likely to see a large drawdown in the dollar. Then there's what's happening in Asia. Japan is starting to spend big on new era investments. They own a lot of dollar assets. In order to finance this capital investment at home, they're likely going to have to sell off dollar assets, including U.S. treasuries. That's one of the reasons why the net flows into U.S. equities compared to U.S. treasuries is so dramatic. It's at the highest ratio ever because there's actually, in some instances, depending on the country, net outflows of money into U.S. treasuries. In the year to March, the U.S. received well over $600 billion in net equity inflows. However, that was a record amount. So once again, if the tide turns on equities, it will likely also turn on the dollar as well, which puts the Fed at a quagmire because lower dollar will likely ignite more inflation, which makes it harder for them to ease policy in the midst of maybe a correcting equity market. Then there are a lot of Asian currencies. 6 of the 10 cheapest currencies, according to Deutsche Bank models, are in Asia. And we see what's happening in Japan and many other countries in that region. They are getting tired of a weak currency because they're feeling the effects of inflation. So they actually want their currencies to be stronger. So that was a bit of a primer for tomorrow, but I think it was important to cover because that's a unique aspect that we'll expand on tomorrow's show. I'm Justin Klein, reminding you about KPP Financials, parallel investing. Make a trade for our clients, make the same trade for ourselves, same day, same price, same percentage, no front running, no special treatments. We invest right alongside our clients. We share the same risk and potential for success. And you can learn more by heading over to investtalk.com. Please tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes or Spotify. And check out our videos over on YouTube. And please make sure to review us on iTunes. We'd love to hear from you. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.